today. I just want to honor Al and Sue Gordon, who are here this morning. So good to have you here, and many of you know Al and Sue are part of, are the founding pastors of King's Fellowship, and we're just like honored. Al just started his sabbatical like this Sunday, and so I was like, wow, and you came here? Yeah, and the Halsteads are here, welcome, and I know there's many guests, I can't welcome you all, but it's so good to have you all here. How are ya? Kyla's parents are here, it's like a big reunion. How has the summer been? Good? Still kind of in summer mode? Yeah, as should be. I know there's many still away. My hope is that you have a sense of anticipation and hope as we enter into this fall. Sometimes summers can be disappointing. You know, you had hoped for something. Anybody experienced that this year? You'd hoped for maybe more rest or more time away, and you're going into the fall and you're going, oh boy, maybe I'm not where I wanted to be. But this morning during worship, I don't know if you sensed it, but there was something of the sufficiency of the love of Christ, where I just really sense the Lord is reassuring us he's with us, and that his grace and his love is sufficient, and he wants us to enter this fall with anticipation of the new thing that he's doing in our lives, individually but corporately as well. And so I hope you got that sense this morning. There was, the Lord wanting to break into wherever we're at and draw us into something higher, something more. And that's kind of where I want to talk from this Sunday. I didn't actually get to hear Paula's testimony or Sandy's testimony, although I do intend to listen to them yet, but I heard all these reports. Oh, it's so good to hear testimonies this summer. And I think the powerful thing about testimonies is that we hear God's stories. We hear about how God broke into people's realities and how their lives were changed and transformed and impacted by God. And this morning, I want to talk about that. I want to talk about our stories, both individually and corporately. I want to talk about how our testimonies are important in as we look forward, as we look into the future. What God's done in the past is really important for us to understand and to wrestle with and to come to terms with as we look forward. So this morning we're going to look back and we're going to look forward. And the text this morning is Deuteronomy chapter 8. So you can turn there, Deuteronomy chapter 8. I was meditating on this passage when I was at the gun cabin. It's just this magical place for me. And so this passage, I was just, when we're out at the gun cabin, I just love to sit on the back deck with my Bible and my journal and just soak in nature and God's presence. And this passage really spoke to me. And so I just want to share kind of the things that God was speaking to me through this passage. So let's read through Deuteronomy. We're going to actually read the entire chapter 8. But before I do, though, let me give you a little bit of context about Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is, well, at least in this part of Deuteronomy, this is a speech that Moses is giving to the assembled people of God. And he's giving a speech to them at a very important point of their history. They are at the threshold of their inheritance, the reason for which God delivered them out of slavery from the Egyptians and brought them through the wilderness. Here they were at the threshold of the promised land, and Moses is giving them a speech to inspire them to enter into something ahead of them. But also, as he's doing that, he's reminding them of things in the past, things that they're going to need to take with them into what they're about to experience. So this speech is about the past, but it's also about the future. In fact, it's about the things that God wants us to pay attention to in the past so that we can enter into his will in the future. Moses himself knows that he will not enter that place. That's a whole other story, but Moses is not the one. He knows he's not the one who's called to lead God's people into the promised land. And so as one who is sending, in a sense, sending his spiritual children into their future, he wants to make sure they understand some really important things. And so chapter 8 kind of falls into that context. So let's read that together. Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you, in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during those 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to him and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks, streams, and deep springs gushing out into the valleys and hills. A land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey. A land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing. A land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you've eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increases, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will be proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty, waterless land, with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and to test you, so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and strength and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors, as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed, like the nations the Lord destroyed before you. So you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would awaken our minds and our hearts to hear what you want to speak to us. Guide us into all truth, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So this chapter, I don't know if you picked it up, but there are two kind of key exhortations that Moses is given. He repeats them, but they're really, you can categorize them into really just two exhortations. The first one we find in verse 1 and verse 6. Verse 1, be careful to follow every command I am giving you today. And then again in verse 6, observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to him and revering him. So Moses is firstly exhorting the people of God to live in submission to the commands and the laws and the decrees and the instructions that God had given them through Moses. Now that includes the Ten Commandments and all the other instructions, but it also includes the things that he's saying to them during this time. All the things that God wanted to say through Moses to the people of God, he's saying to them, pay attention. And not only listen to what God commands, but follow these commands. Put them into practice individually and as a people. Follow God by obeying him. The idea here is that God is the head of this operation. He is the only one who understands the master plan. He was the one who delivered the people out of slavery. He alone got them through the wilderness. He had provided manna and fresh water. He provided guidance through the desert through a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Only God had the way through the wilderness, and only he knew how they would take possession of this land. And so what Moses is saying to them is, pay careful attention. Everything the Lord has spoken to you is important for you to listen to and to follow if you are going to take inheritance of this promised land. So listen and act upon the things he's spoken to you. That's the first repeated exhortation. The second exhortation has to do with what you might call right remembrance. And it occurs several times, verse 2, verse 11, verse 18, verse 19. Let me read through them. Verse 2, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years. Verse 11, be careful not to forget the Lord your God. Verse 18, remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant. Verse 19, if you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. So in this passage, Moses shares these two exhortations over and over and over again, but more than just exhorting them in these two ways, he brings these two exhortations together. It sounds simply like this: right remembrance, if you will remember rightly, it will lead you to careful obedience. Remembering rightly leads to careful obedience, and it brings us into right relationship with God. Let me kind of dig into this a little bit deeper. To illustrate this, Moses talks about two tests. How many of you guys like tests? I know we got some students going back to school. How many of you going back to school this fall? Any students this fall? Yeah? Do you love tests? Are you looking forward to those tests? I hated tests. And Moses, he illustrates this idea by talking about two tests, something that we don't necessarily really enjoy or look forward to. And he talks about one test that was from the past and another test that is still in their future. And he's talking about these two tests in order to help them understand how remembering rightly will bring about careful obedience and lead them into blessing and right relationship with God. So what's this first test? Well, the first test is found in verse 2 and goes to verse 5. Let me read that. See if you can find it in here. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and to, you got it, test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Your clothes did not wear out and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Okay, so remember what's going on here. Moses is trying to illustrate how our remembering can affect obedience. And so to do this, to illustrate this, he reminds them of the test they had already been through, a test in the wilderness. If I was to simplify this test in a sort of skill testing question, it would sound like this. When you find yourself on the threshold of future fearful circumstances, aka the Lord's purposes and will for us, because they are fearful, what will you remember from the past fearful experiences you've been through? When things are uncertain and you're anticipating a difficult challenge, when you're about to enter into things that God is calling you into, what will you remember about the past? What are your reference points? What are you going to carry into my future with you? The reason this was such an important thing for Moses to talk about is that they had been here before. The Israelites had been in this very same, they'd been at this threshold a generation earlier. They'd been at the threshold of the promised land. They'd spied out the land and they heard what it was like. And they knew that the purposes of God were scary. When they sent the spies in, they came back and they said, there are these huge walled cities and these giants, these mighty armies. How could God do this? How could God deliver us from the Egyptians only to enslave our children here in this place? And they became afraid and they rebelled against God and they refused to go into the promised land that he commanded them to do. So what were the Israelites remembering that first time? Were they remembering the deliverance of God from the Egyptians, how powerfully he had delivered them? No. No, all they could remember was the misery and all the difficulty they'd experienced in slavery. That's all they could see. As they looked ahead and they saw these walled cities and these mighty armies, all they could think about was how bad things had been in slavery. They'd totally forgotten that God had delivered them and that he was mighty to deliver them still. Did they remember that God had led them through the wilderness and that he'd provided for every need, that their sandals didn't wear out, that they had manna to eat and fresh water, even from a stone? Were they remembering those things? No. They were remembering the hardships and the difficulties that they had been through. They said things like, oh, God just, he brought us out of Egypt only to die here. He hates us. When you look back on your life, what do you remember? What do you remember? What's your focal point? As you look forward, as you look into the future and you're anticipating God doing a new thing and you think, wow, this is scary. What are you carrying with you into that future? Do you have only eyes for the things that you have suffered and endured? Is your mind fixated on the pain you've been through? The disappointments and the failures? Because when we are drawn to those remembrances and we're stuck in those remembrances, guess what? God's purposes feel oppressive. God's future purposes, we relate to past grievances, grievous experiences. And in that place, we end up feeling like God's out to harm us. We start to doubt the things that maybe he wants to do or the things that he's called us to. Brothers and sisters, we all have our Egypts. We've all experienced wilderness. Times of life where we were in bondage, where we needed deliverance, times when we were in the wilderness, where we were hungry and thirsty, times when we were afraid, needing guidance, needing provision. What Moses is saying to the Israelites and what we need to grasp for ourselves is that when we're facing uncertainty and when we're on the threshold of new things that God wants to do, when we're entering into a time that feels like the wilderness of the past or feels like Egypt, it is imperative, it's so important that we remember the right things. I hear an amen. You with me? We need to remember the right things. You see, we have a choice. A test always has at least two choices. How many of you guys have taken a test where they just give you all the right answers and you just have to like put a check mark beside it? Wouldn't that be a great test? Some people think the school division or the school system's kind of heading that way. There's no wrong answer. But that's not what a test is. A test has a right answer and it has wrong answers. And you have to choose the right answer. And in fact, you have to remember rightly in order to choose the right answer, right? The hardest tests, though, are those tests that have part of the right answer and then some of the wrong answer. Ever had a test like that? I hated those teachers. Right? They just put enough of the wrong answer in, or the right, enough of the right answer in to make it sound right, and if you hadn't done your homework, you get sucked in, totally suckered in. That's kind of the way our memory works, because all of us have had our Egypts, all of us have been through difficult times, all of us have had hardships, and so when we come to this test, guess what happens? Our brains interpret the scariness of what we're about to face and says, this is the same thing. You're about to go through this painful experience again. You're going to fail again. You're going to give up again. You're going to fill in the blank. What is it? What is it in your past? What is it that you've wrestled with? What is it that's been your wilderness, your Egypt? It's not the right answer. It feels like the right answer, but it's not the right answer. If we remember rightly, what will we remember? The deliverance of God. How at just the right time, he broke into our reality and delivered us from slavery. That's remembering rightly, brothers and sisters. Amen? And so what will we remember? This is imperative. What will we remember? We have a choice. God's callings, by the way, are often fearful. Amen? They require us to have to face some emotional battles, maybe even some tough decisions. Sometimes we have to be willing to sacrifice things that we hold dear. Step into new things where we've failed in the past. Get out of our comfort zones. You see, God's purposes always reveal our own vulnerabilities. They're custom made. I don't know if I've ever been at a threshold moment where I was like, yeah! You know, I've been more like, oh. And in fact, if you get to a threshold moment and you think, yeah, I got this, it's probably not a good sign. God brings us to threshold moments so that we will cry out to him because we know we desperately need him. He never calls us to something we can accomplish in our own strength and wisdom anyways. Amen? He always calls us into things where we desperately will need him. And so, yeah, he calls us into scary places. And we need courage and faith. We need him. And so rather than focusing on who you have been and how you have failed, or who others have been and how others have hurt you, rather than going through all that slavery and wilderness over and over and over, God is inviting us in a threshold moment to trust, to hope, to believe. He's calling us to remember all the times he's been faithful. Every provision, he's calling us into a place of praise. Amen? A place of praise, a place where we remember, we give thanks. I love what Moses says in verse 3. He says, he humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. What's he saying there? Well, what he's saying is, God leads you through humbling experiences to show us what is in our hearts. How little we trust him. Have you had an experience like that recently where you've realized how little you actually trust him? And then you remember all the things that God has done for you and you go, why do I still struggle with trusting him? Have you come to that place recently? I definitely felt that a lot this summer. The manna taught the people of God that God had provision they didn't know about. It's like our ancestors didn't know about manna. Doesn't mean manna didn't exist. You know, sometimes what happens with our memories is we think that because we haven't experienced something, it doesn't exist. Right? And that's one of the ways our memories betray us. But God was teaching the people of Israel through manna. He was saying, manna exists. There's future provision. There's future manna for you. There's provision to come. There are things you don't know about. He will provide for you in the promised land, just the same as he provided for you in the desert. You need to remember the places of manna, brothers and sisters. We need to remember the places where God provided. Amen? Because there are those places to come, places of provision. We need to go beyond trusting the bread. We need to remember to trust the bread giver. All right, I've probably dwelt on test number one long enough. Let me just kind of cover that over a bit again. Moses is reminding the Israelites in this first test that he's reminding them that because they've been through fearful experiences in the past, that isn't necessarily what their future will hold. Amen? Test number two. Test number two is found in the next half of the chapter, and we're going to read that, verse 6 to 18. Observe, by the way, I want to see if you find it. So look for the second test. It's not as easy as the first one. He actually doesn't use the word test. So see if you can find the test in the second part. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to him and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks and streams and deep springs gushing out into the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and test you, so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and my strength and my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. So what's the second test? This one's in the future for the Israelites. Right? Thinking you're self-made. What other ideas? What's the second test? Trusting in? Yeah, or the struggle to trust in, or the struggle that we'll trust in ourselves rather than the Lord because of our success, right? Moses is talking about a time of fulfillment. He's talking about a time where they will experience the fulfillment to the promises that they have received. In fact, they would one day come into a place where they would experience fulfillment. But what's the test in times of fulfillment, times of plenty, times of blessing? What is the test in it? Right. Right, we have a choice between pride or praise in that place. If I was to sum this second test up in a skill testing question, it would sound like this. When you experience times of fulfillment or blessings, will you end up in praise or pride? See, Moses knew that God was good. He knew that this future that God had ordained for his people would be fulfilled. He would lead them into the promised land. He would bless his people richly. But he saw this trap. He saw this test that lay before him, and he warned them. He warned them about the test that comes with fulfillment and blessing and plenty. He could see a problem coming. That once they had settled and were living in the blessings of God, that they would forget the things that God had taught them in the desert. And in the forgetting, that they would take credit for their abundance, that they would forget that man does not live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. In verse 14, he says, when they experienced all these blessings, their heart would become proud, and they would forget the Lord their God who brought them out of Egypt. Isn't it interesting that the wilderness isn't the only place where we're tested? You know, we think it's just in trials we get tested. Or it's just in difficult experiences that we experience testing. But actually, we are tested in it. Maybe it's a different way, but we're tested all the same when things are good. When we've entered into a fulfillment of a long-desired wish or prayer. When God's answered the prayer, when God's brought us into fulfillment, there's a test there. And the test is this. You see, when we're in times of fulfillment, what'll end up happening is we're going to really enjoy it. And that's good. There's no biblical injunction against enjoying the blessings of God. God wants us to enjoy the riches of his blessings. But when his blessings begin to become the thing we worship and begin to replace God, we begin to forget him, and incrementally we begin to take more and more credit for the blessings in our life. It might sound like this. It might start out with, Well, God's blessing me because I obeyed him. Eh? I did pretty good. And it's true. God's blessings do come through obedience. Yes, that's true. They often do. But there's that little temptation. I did pretty good. Right? It begins there. And it begins to grow. The more blessings, well, the more credit we begin to take. And we look at other people who are going through struggles and, wow, I guess they weren't obeying. That's not true, that part, is it? No, because actually, sometimes God brings us through wilderness, and it has nothing to do with obedience or disobedience. And so we have to be careful in that place, that we don't begin to take credit, that we remember wrongly, and we begin to forget that we ourselves have been through wilderness experiences. Have you ever heard Proverbs 16:18? Pride cometh before the fall. And the fall can be really incremental. It can begin with pride and you're in the blessing. But you know when the fall happens is when you all of a sudden wake up and you can't, you don't know God anymore. All you know is your own sufficiency. And you've forgotten what it feels like to need God. And you no longer give him praise for the things that he's done. This is a test. And Moses saw that this test was coming. Moses' exhortation to them was that they ought to praise him. And he says this in verse 10. When you've eaten and are satisfied, what are you to do? Praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. What is praise? Praise, I would suggest to you, is right remembrance turned into a declaration. Look what the Lord has done for me. Praise is what Paula did a few Sundays ago. It's what Sandy did a few Sundays ago. Praise is actually sharing our testimony, our God story. It's remembering back to the times when we were in the wilderness and saying, look what the Lord did for me. That's praise. Amen? And so if you are in a time of blessing and fulfillment, my encouragement is to go back. Remember rightly, what has the Lord done for you? And turn it into praise. Share your testimony with somebody. Express what the Lord has done for you. Not just on a Sunday morning when we're singing songs, but express it to your children. Tell your God stories to your children. Tell your family, tell your neighbor, tell the people in your life, I'm remembering these days. The Lord reminded me of what he did for me. Oh, the Lord is so good to me. So why this message? Why did I feel like Deuteronomy 8 was the message for this morning? I feel like this is a natural threshold in the year. You know, the summer's ending and we're looking forward to the fall. I know all of us are in a place where we're saying, God, what do you want in the coming weeks and months? What are you up to in my life? We're all in that place. We're all constantly evaluating, Lord, what's next? What is the fulfillment of your purpose for me personally? And I know that we as elders, we spent a weekend away just last weekend. We were asking the Lord the same question as a body. Lord, what do you have for us as your people? Lord, we feel like we're on the threshold of new things. You want to do a new thing among us. Lord, what is it that you want to do? And as I've been in that place in these last few weeks, I got to tell you, I felt both these tests. Because I've gotten pretty comfortable. And I have this deep sense that following Jesus into his purposes means that I'm going to have to lay some of my comfort zones aside. That he's going to call me into messy things. And I remember messy. I used to work at Living Bible Explorers. I remember messy. Messy stinks. But wow, did God do miracles in those messy places. I have stories to tell, God's stories, because he always showed up. And I would rather be in messy with God showing up than be comfortable and self-satisfied. Amen? And I just felt like this just needed to rise up in us, because I think there's a lot of us contemplating the messy thing God might want to do. And that's a test. Will we settle into comforts? Will we settle into places of self-satisfaction? Or will we hear that call? Will we remember that he's faithful, that he has brought us through the tests, that he is a God who can do the miraculous? He can bring water out of rocks. Amen? He can bring manna from heaven. And when we look into the purposes of God and we see all the scary things and we assume that we're going to fail and we assume it's all going to go south, brothers and sisters, let's not go there this time. Amen? Let's consider that God might have something new. Do you perceive it? I am doing a new thing. Do you feel it? This is what the Spirit is saying to the church. Do you feel it? Do you sense the stirrings? God, you don't understand. I'm growing older. There's not much life left. What new thing could you do in the time I have left? Remember. Remember what I've done. Remember rightly. I could do that. Amen? But God, I failed again and again. I have a pattern of failure again and again. I'm your deliverer. Do you sense the new thing I'm doing? It's welling up, stirring it up in you. Do you perceive it? Will you believe me for what I'm doing? Will you trust me into this place? Can we respond to that? Can you stand together? Yes. All right, Lord, we just give you all our excuses. All of our fears, Lord, the things that we know we can't carry into this promised land, Lord, we lay them down today. Lord, we want to give you the patterns of failure in our lives. Lord, yes, that's true. But Lord, you are greater than our patterns of failure. Lord, you know us inside. Inside and out, and still you call us. We believe you, Lord. Lord, we ask that this new thing that you want to do in us and through us, that you'd help us to perceive it. You'd help us to see it rightly, that you'd help us to remember it rightly. That we would remember you as deliverer, provider. And that we would carry that into this coming season of whatever you're doing. Lord, we give you our fears of messy. Jesus, would you overcome that fear by reminding us of your great love. Lord, we ask that you would draw us into a place where we can overcome by faith, overcome fear, overcome doubt. Lord, would you call us into those places, those difficult, messy places in faith? Would you invite us forward? Would you help us to cross Jordan, whatever that looks like, and not to be afraid? And so we give you our memory. Help us to remember rightly. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to bless you and release you. Some of you need prayer in these areas. And so if you're in one of those tests, or if you're in both of those tests, like if you're in that place where you're afraid and you feel like you're stuck in fear, come and get some prayer today. Or you know what, you're stuck in a failure mentality that you can't get out of a cycle. Come and receive prayer. It's time for breakthroughs, brothers and sisters. And if you're in that other place where you're feeling stuck in comfort, and you feel like in order to enter the purposes of God, you got to break out of something, come for prayer. We'd like today to be a breakthrough for some of us. Amen? All right, but I'll bless you. I know that we kept you a long time. So I'm going to bless you with the blessing that Aaron blessed the Israelites with. This is what they would have heard during that time when they were considering going into the promised land. This is the thing the Lord reassured them with, and he spoke over them with. He says, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace." Go in peace. And if you want to receive prayer, come to the front.